enough for me. And everything I need is in you. And everything I need, Christ is enough for me. Christ, He is enough for me. And everything I need is in you. Everything I need, Christ is my reward. And all of my devotion, there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Oh, through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Oh, Christ, He is enough for me. And Christ, He is enough for me. And everything I need is in you. Everything I need, Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation. Oh, and this hope will never fail, for heaven is our home. Oh, through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ, He is enough for me. And I know Christ is enough for me. Oh, everything I need is in you. And everything I need, He is enough for me. And Christ, He is enough for me. And everything I need is in you. And everything I need, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Christ, He is enough for me. And Christ, He is enough for me. Oh, hey, everything I need is in you. And everything whole world, but give me Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Come on, let's praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Is He enough for you this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture. I'm not going to ask you to get your Bibles this morning, but I want you to participate. We're going to read Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery in heart. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Hallelujah. Praise Him with the string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
He's worthy of our praises this morning, saints. He woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He gave us a dance. He gave us a reason to shout. Hallelujah. He's healed our bodies. He saved our souls. Amen. What more can He do? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. He is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Give me the keys, sister. I don't know. We're going to try and sing this little song together. Jesus is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, He is a mighty God. The Messiah, He is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. The Messiah, He is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, He is a mighty God. Even Buddha bows before Him. Even Krishna bows before Him. Even Allah bows before Him. Even you, Satan, bow before Him. Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, He is a mighty God. The Messiah, He is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Donald Trump bows before Him. Vladimir Putin bows before Him. Even the Pope bows before Him. Even you, Lucifer, bow before Him. Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, He is a mighty God. The Messiah, He is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Even cancer bows before Him. Even lupus bows before Him. Heart trouble bows before Him. Even you, Satan, bow before Him. Jesus, 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 Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, He is a mighty God. The Messiah, He is a mighty God.
Jesus is a mighty God. Say, Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, he is a mighty God. The Messiah, he is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty
God. Come on, put your hands on.
Jesus is a mighty God. Jehovah, he is a mighty God. The Messiah, he is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. The mighty God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's nobody like our God. There's nobody like our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is great. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's sing this little song together. We know he's a mighty God. Amen. But our God is great. He's greater than Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, cancer, whatever we fight, he's greater than Satan himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. No, none like you. Into the darkness you shine.
Hallelujah.
Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No one, Lord, no one. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Oh, our God. Turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. No one, no one. None like you. Oh. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Do you believe that this morning?
There's none like you. Oh, oh, oh. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God.
And if our God is for us, Let's sing it together.
Say, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand up? And if our God is for us,
hallelujah.
And if our God is with us, then what can stand?
Come on again, say it.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever?
We're victorious, saints, hallelujah.
Then what can stand?
Oh!
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Oh, what can stand against? What can stand against? Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, one more time, y'all. Our God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. There's nobody greater than our God. Praise the Lord. We have some specials this morning. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord, Sister Sarah. Will you come this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. There's nothing like the love of God. God bless you, Sister Sarah. Sister Shonda, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Bless you.
Choices are hard.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's something about the name Jesus. There's power in the name Jesus. Hallelujah. We press on in that precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't have any written requests up here. I ask that you remember Sister Emma. Amen. Keep her upon your heart and pray for her. Amen. Continue to pray for our brothers and sisters that couldn't make it here today. Amen. At all times, remember one another. Praise the Lord. Sister, we have any announcements? Praise the Lord. Today is Brother Quentin's birthday, and he's not even here. But when we see him, we're going to wish him a happy birthday. It's good to have Brother Quentin here. Praise the Lord. Sisters, prayer Tuesday at 7:30. Also, Pentacle Palm service next week at 5:30. And combination service next week in Boynton Beach at 6:30. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithe and offering. All power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am healer, mender of broken hearts. I am Alpha Omega, your destiny, and where you start. I am the one who does impossible things. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you. I am the one who sees a need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. 'Cause I am healer, mender of broken hearts. I am Alpha Omega, your destiny, and where you start.
says impossible things. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you. And when there's a need, when you are sick, you're overwhelmed in the moment right now, see your way, just let me fix it. Just let me fix it. You gotta know it's not too hard for me. So just let me fix it. Oh, that's who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. The doctor says cancer, but the lawyer says jail time. You can't see your way.
Spirit and Truth being here for 15 years. It's been such a blessing to everybody. And I'll do something a little different. I'm asking that the old school young people come and help me sing this song, please. Old school.
Walk away, and you have some. a mighty dark days, dark days.
That's what he said.
When you're up, when you're down, when confusion's all around, dark days.
That's what he
said. Friends walk away. And you have some mighty dark days, dark days.
That's what he said.
If you hold on,
hold on,
all you got to do is hold on,
hold on.
I'll be with you.
I'll be with you. That's what he said.
When the storms of life are raging, and you have some mighty, mighty dark days, dark days.
That's what
it
says.
When you're up, when you get down, when the music's all around, dark days.
That's what
it says. If you hold on,
hold on,
all you got to do. When the storms are tossing high,
are tossing high,
just hold on,
hold on.
All you got to do is hold on.
Hold on.
I'll be with you.
I'll be with you. That's what he said.
That he would be with you.
Said he would be with you.
When the storms of life, God said he would. When the storms are tossing high,
tossing high,
just hold on,
hold on.
All you got to do is hold on,
hold on. The fire and the flood
will go higher
in God's love.
I'll be with you.
I'll be with you. That's what he said.
Not better,
yeah.
Take care of you.
That's better,
it's not better.
Tell somebody, if he said it, that settles it. If he said it, that settles it. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Glory to God. Glory to God. If he said it, that settles it. Praise the Lord. You see, you understand, our God is not a God that mixes his words. He's not a God that has to say something then take it back because he didn't mean what he said. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve, before he actually speaks something, he's already thought about it. See, it's a thought first. And before it becomes expressed in word fashion, he had to think about it. So, amen, he was sure before he spoke it that that's exactly what he wanted to do. So if he said it, it settles it. Whether we believe it or not, it's still settled. Somebody give him a hand of praise in this place. My. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the old school choir. Amen. That's what we used to do when we were younger. And man, we just love the Lord Jesus. And I felt we'd do something a little special here today for you since we're celebrating 15 years. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand of praise for 15 years of, amen, of church ministry? Amen. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. I am certainly grateful, amen, for what the Lord has done for us, amen, with us, amen, over these last 15 years, and looking forward to all that he has in store, amen, for this church. Y'all be seated just for a few minutes, amen. Got a couple of things that I just need to do here. Y'all find a little spot there just to break, amen, in that song, and I got just a couple things I need to do. Y'all stay there on the musician on the instruments though, just for a little bit. Just a card here says there are people in our lives who are so genuinely kind-hearted. Just appreciating them just comes naturally. Thank you. Says to my spirit and true family, I would like to thank each and every one for their thoughts, love, and prayers for my mom. She is on the road to recovery by the grace of God. So I really love and appreciate you all. May God richly bless each one of you. This is from, says, love, Sister Verna and Brother Jimmy, amen, and family. She just wanted to express her thanks for your prayers and concern and everything you did regarding her mom. And we're so glad to know that mom is on the road to recovery. Amen. Amen. God has heard the prayer of his people. Amen. And he's touching her body. We just appreciate the Lord. Earlier this week, I was just kind of reflecting, amen, in my mind. And, you know, sometimes you sit back and you think about how good God been to you. Amen. And one songwriter said, you can't tell it, let me tell it. What the Lord has done for me. And, you know, as I would just begin to go back in my mind, this song came to me. There was a couple songs that came to me. This first song, I don't want you all to play on this one. Maybe just a bass on the drum. That'll be it. But this first song, I was growing up, I grew up Baptist. Amen. I grew up in the Baptist church. That's my roots. That's where I first learned about the Lord Jesus, and you know, we got introduced to Pentecost some years later through my grandmother, amen. But when we were Baptist, this song said, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? I said, won't it be grand? Yeah, won't it be grand? Yeah, see, I'm going home, yeah, to live. Hey, won't it be grand? Oh, they used to say, you can talk about me just as much as you please. Hey, the more you talk, I'm gonna stay on my knees. Hey, I'm going home, yeah. Oh, won't it be grand? Oh, say now, won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Hey, you see, I'm going home, yeah, to live. Yes, I am. Won't it be grand? Oh, hey, you can talk about me just as much as you please. You see, the more you talk, I'm gonna stay on my knees. Hey, I'm going home, yeah. Oh, won't it be grand? Hallelujah. Man, I just began to think about that and think about seeing some of my loved ones over on the other side. And man, it just, I say, yeah, it's going to be grand. A good old time. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Sometimes you just take journeys like that and you know, God just begin to show you how far he's brought you. Amen. You just appreciate what the Lord has done. Amen. And he gave me this old Pentecostal song. Amen. And I was singing it all week. I might have heard it last week while we were there in Ocala, but it's just something that, you know, just been blessing me. I see in the Baptist church, you know, you get a song like that, and that just, man, that just move on the inside, you know, the inside, and just really cause you to really think about, you know, the words, you know, what you're saying. But in the Pentecostal church, it was more, man, it made you want to shout, right? Right? I mean, one of them songs that Sister Tina just sung, man, it just make you want to move a little something. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. We just love the Lord, you know, and ain't nothing wrong with praising him, because he's worthy, you know. He's worthy to be praised. So the saints say, what do you want the Lord to say?
Oh, what do you want the Lord to say?
Ooh, well done, a good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Come on. Come on, say, what do you want the Lord to say? Oh. Well done, well done. Hey, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Come on, say it again. Oh, what do you want the Lord to say? Oh, hey, well done. Oh, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Come on, sing it again. Hey, what do you want the Lord to say? Oh, wanna hear him say, well done. Yeah, good and faithful servant, enter in. Come on, sing it one more time. Yeah, what do you want the Lord to say? Oh, wanna hear him say, well, good and faithful servant, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. Faithful servant, well done. Good and 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 faithful servant, want to hear him say, good and faithful servant, wanna hear him say, good and faithful, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. Good and faithful, well done. Good and faithful, hey, well done. Come on, well done, good and faithful, well done, good and faithful, well done, good and faithful, yeah. What do you want the Lord to say? Wanna hear him say, well done. Good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Dear God, tell somebody, I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him say, well done. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Yeah, we were having prayer, and Brother Kenny told us, he said, you know, it's not good enough just to be good. Right, you know, we, you know, sometimes we happy with just being good, but he say, no, you want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's not good enough just to be good. You need to be good and faithful. Come on, somebody, it's gonna take that to be good and faithful. Glory to God, and you know what faithfulness looked like. Amen. But we want to be faithful in serving God. Especially in an hour like this. Amen. The prophet said we don't want to get our lines tangled up in times like these. Amen. It's too late in the game to get your lines tangled up. If you ever gone fishing on the drift boat, they got a lot of, you know, people dropping their lines in the water. And sometimes if a person don't really know what they're doing, amen, they can hinder you. Right? They can hinder you. As you done drop down, you know, next to them, and they done did something, and all of a sudden they got everybody down the boat, lines all tangled up, and you just miss the fish just laughing at everybody, right? You don't want to be like that. I mean, a real fisherman, they see something like that, they start heading to another side of the boat because they don't want to be somewhere where the line's going to get tangled up. Praise the Lord. We don't want none of that. Not now. It's too late for the lines to get tangled up. Keep it straight. Keep it straight. It's important. It's necessary if we're going to catch some fish. Amen. So praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord. Musicians, thank y'all so much. God bless you. Man, I was listening to y'all. I don't know. I think that song that Brother Solomon was singing, and I Am, y'all had a little dun, 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 or something y'all was doing in there. I said, man, that's all right. They done got them little something they don't have found, and they holding on to it. I said, but that's good. Sound real good. Amen. We thank the Lord, amen, for keeping us while we were away last weekend in Ocala. We had a wonderful time there with the believers at Brother Joe's, amen, a church, Family of God Tabernacle. We had his birthday was a real blessing, and then a real night, they did a great job surprising him. And then on top of that, the service that we had, just really enjoyed the presence of the Lord. Yesterday, we went up to St. Augustine celebrating Brother Brown's 90th birthday, and also him and Sister Brown's 68th wedding anniversary. Again, tremendous time we had there. Brother Ron Spencer came from Virginia, and he preached, and man, on commitment, a real nice thought on commitment. And man, we just enjoyed ourselves, you know. And so it's good to be back home. And some of the saints were asking, Brother Jack, are y'all standing? No, we ain't standing. We got to get back home. And I was looking forward to coming back for this 15-year celebration. Amen. God has been good. Amen. God has been good. And we're extremely, you know, just grateful for what the Lord, amen, has done. I got a chance to listen to Brother Joel, amen, and man, I was just, I text him and say, Brother, the Lord used you to speak to our church, and so much was said, amen, and making preparation, and I say, Lord, and I told him, say, now, when you start talking about boys to men, I say, now, you don't walk in somebody's living room, you know, and you talking real good right now, you know. But he say they stayed boys, you know, and it's, you know, a little bit about Bobby Brown and all of that. I said, man, you in there now, you know, you done touched something. But you know, just a real good thought, and I'm just so happy to see him, you know, just relax himself and express, amen, himself, you know, to the people of the Lord. And I believe if you didn't really get it, go back and listen to it again, because there was a lot being said, amen, in that sermon. And I felt like, you know, all of us were hearing directly from God. Amen. Sometimes when you're praying, you're asking God to speak to you about certain things, he'll send a minister up here with what's in your heart, and they'll speak that, right? It's up to you to actually listen. Sometimes we tune it out if that's not what we want to hear.
Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. God don't always speak what you want to hear. Right. Amen. But he'll speak what you need. Right? He will speak what you need. So, you know, be open to hear the voice of God as it comes, amen, through ministry and as it comes through just even others that God has placed in your life. Be open to hear his voice. Amen. What I want to do is read a scripture, and we will prepare for our thought today. Amen. Just so good to have everyone in the house of the Lord. Amen. This morning, I'm going to read from John 15. We're going to just read a couple of scriptures, and then what the Lord's kind of placed in my heart. I want to just line up a couple things, and then I want to kind of go into, since we're celebrating 15 years of ministry, I want to go into, amen, maybe a more personal testimony, amen, as to how Spirit and Truth became Spirit and Truth. Amen. Some of you may know that. Some may not know it. So, amen, I'd like to just kind of share a personal testimony regarding that, amen, on today. And since we're celebrating these 15 years, we want to remember Sister Wisdom in prayer. Amen. Brother Wisdom reached out and said that she got sick, just did not rest well last night, and they just, you know, decided to stay home today, you know, trusting that the Lord would touch her body and that she'll recover. And so we want to remember her in prayer, and amen, and you know, we'll go from there. Also, there's others that we don't see this morning. We'll also remember them in prayer too. Amen on the day. But turn with me to John 15. And I find this very appropriate because we're celebrating 15 years. Amen. So John 15. Amen. For these 15 years of ministry. It says this in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2 says, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I need you to understand that the purging process is when the tree is actually being cut, right? It's being cut. It's being trimmed. And the purpose of that trimming is so that it could bring forth more fruit. Amen. Glory to God. There's a season where you have to go through some trimming, some cutting in your life, but that's so that you can bring forth more fruit. Amen. Stay with me here. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer today. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to read your word. We know it takes the Holy Spirit to make these things clear to us that we've read, that it won't just go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, may it make a difference in our hearts and our lives. God, we're even praying today that your Holy Spirit would have the preeminence, amen, in this portion of the service. God, if you want to come down and fill somebody, because the Bible says, as Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on the people. So you want to come down and fill, interrupt our thought today, God, and do exactly what you need to do. Because we realize that it's only a true experience with you that makes the difference in our hearts and in our lives. It's only the true experience that Lord, that gives us power to overcome the enemy. Without that, Lord, we are just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. So, God, give us a true experience with you. We want to remember, amen, Sister Wisdom today in prayer, not feeling well. in her body. Enemy attacking her, God, may you bring healing to her. Also, the kids there, her grandkids, Lord, Sister Tracy's kids, we pray that you just touch them as well. They're not feeling well, so help them, God, through this little season, amen. And whatever it is that Satan is putting on them, we curse it now at its root, and we command it to loose them and let them go. Other saints not feeling well in their body, God, that have pressed their way out to the house of the Lord today, touch them, God, is our prayer. Others that are missing today, Lord, look upon them as well and just minister to their hearts and to their needs. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you. Amen. Our title, you know, my thought just kind of we'll title it "You Made a Way," and just again thinking about, you know, these 15 years, amen, of ministry, only God could help us through, amen, these years. Only God could do it. I was thinking on the scripture, amen, I believe there in the book of Luke, it might be Luke 17, where there were 10 men that were healed by Jesus. They were healed of their blindness, and only, I think, one of them turned around to go back to the Lord Jesus and to thank him for what he had done. So anytime we reach milestones like this, I feel it would be robbery if I didn't just stop and tell the Lord thank you. Amen. Just tell the Lord thank you for what he's done, amen, for us. So I'm grateful, amen, for the 15 years. The Bible says in Psalms 127, say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And I'm so glad to know that it's God that built this house. Amen. It's God that's watched over this city. Amen. It's God that has done it. I was looking at a statistic, amen, on the internet, and this stat, they said, how many churches were closed this year? And there were two stats that went out, and this was back in October of 2013. I think that this when the stat came out, but they said one researcher, the Southern Baptist researcher, they said anywhere from 4,000 to 7,000 churches would close their doors every year, right? And then another one was an article called 13 Issues for Churches in 2013. And in that article, they put the estimate a little higher. They said somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 churches will likely close this year. Amen. And I'm so glad that, amen, we didn't fit that category. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we didn't fit that category. I'm so glad that God made a way. Amen. God kept the doors open. God did it. Amen. And I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. There's many that can't say that, but God has done, amen, something for us, and he allows us just to kind of keep coming here and, you know, just enjoying his presence. We're so grateful, for that. Just recently there was something, you know, I want to just read a little, quote here, from this message, the angel of the Lord. Amen. The angel of the Lord. The prophet made a statement here. He says, now many times in the meeting, the angel of the Lord, which appeared, and many of you know about it, appears like that night and all down through the time. It looks like a big pillar of fire about that thick and about that big. And it comes in a licking, whirling, going, right? That's the way the pillar of fire appears. It comes in a licking, whirling, going. And, you know, it says Brother Bram, he imitates the sound of the angel Lord coming to him. Say thousands of times, thousands have seen it. It's appeared visibly. And say here not long ago, I was standing near Fort Wayne, Indiana, in a meeting. I was speaking and the audience was very haughty like. It was in a theater building, and I was trying. I said, "Now it's the angel Lord. I just been started, and I could see the people looking one to another, and you could feel that cold feeling. Glory to God." Amen. And some of them, especially the sick, they wasn't thinking of that. The others that was acting that, they wasn't sick, right? You say the sick man is looking for help. You can talk to him. A hungry man that's real hungry, you can talk to him about food. But if he's not interested about dinner anymore, see, well, that's it. It's the ones that's in need. Glory to God. See, when people are not in need, they act all kind of ways. It's hard to get an amen from them when they're not in need. Huh? It's hard to get them to press when they're not in need. But when folk are in need, boy, you can't keep them out of the church. And what you need to do is just wait for somebody to get in need. God got a way of getting people there. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Otherwise, you'd just be wasting a lot of time. But just keep praying for them. God somehow going to bring that thing around where they're going to need God, and they'll be coming right on through the door. Glory to God. All right. You say a hungry man that's real hungry, you can't talk to him about food. But if he's not interested about dinner anymore, see, well, that's it. It's the ones that's in need. And maybe sometime you'll be in need too. So it'll be different if it was your mother laying here dying or it's your son or someone. It would be different. And the doctor said that there was no hope for them. It would be different. He goes on, you know, as he was just kind of talking, I won't read all of that. Amen. But as he kept going on, it was talking about how the angel Lord showed up in this meeting. Amen. As he was there in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and as he was there in the meeting, and he say everybody, a lot of people begin to see. Now, notice how he say it comes, the pillar fire comes in, and I wish I would have been there to see him say how thick it was. He said about that thick, right? And he says about that big, and it comes in a licking, right? Whirling and going. So it's just moving from here to here and move. That's how he described the pillar fire. That's what we saw in the video. Right? He says it comes a licking, a whirling, amen, a going, glory to God, just constantly moving. And that's exactly what we saw, right? So here, you know, the prophet goes on to say now, he said when they were at this meeting there, amen, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, he said some of the people began to see the pillar fire. And it became so visible that there was a young lady on the piano. She was playing, amen, the song, The Great Physician, Now It's Near. And Brother Branham was sitting there. He was praying for this little boy. And, you know, and as he's praying for the little boy, so he couldn't understand what was going on. Amen. He said, thought the usher turned on a light. And he said, man, that light's so bright. Why don't the man just turn the light down? You know, he see me up here praying for people. And that's what he think in his mind. This man see me praying for these people. He's going to turn that light on and try to distract me. He thought it was the devil. He said, but as he started noticing, he said, the light just got brighter and brighter and brighter as it started approaching him. He said, a young lady on the piano saw the same light. And when she saw it, she jumped up off the piano, began to scream and praise God, and she took off running. The piano kept playing.
Right. Yes, sir. That's right.
The piano kept playing. The Holy Ghost was in control of the service.
That's right.
And the piano kept playing, never missing a note. Now, that's what we're talking about. Right? Amen. But you know, as he was saying, say that young lady saw the pillar of fire. She saw the angel of the Lord, and many others that night. Say that little boy. He said when he saw the angel of the Lord come, he don't remember whether he dropped the boy or not. But all he knows is that the boy was out of his arms and the boy was healed. Right. But when he saw the presence of God, amen, it created a response. And I'm telling you, church, amen, what we saw on video, God want to do greater.
Yes,
amen. And I think he's ready to do greater. But we got to keep the line straight. Got to keep the line straight if we're going to see God do more.
Yes,
I'm under expectation, amen, to see him do more.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. All right. So, you know, as we just kind of look at this. Amen. I'm just, you know, expressing my heart to the Lord. He's the one that's made a way. He's the one that's made a way. Amen. Now, when I look at, you know, we talk about 15 years of ministry. The Lord just kind of took me, you know, to a little website that I wanted to look at.
And I was just kind of looking at what are some of the expectations of a 15-year-old. So if a parent was dealing with a 15-year-old, what are some of the things you should be expecting, amen, when you're dealing with that 15-year-old, right? And, you know, and one of the things it says that most of them at that age, most 15-year-olds are independent, right? But the majority struggle to recognize their limitations. Now, most of them are already independent. And I'm taking this and I'm putting it in the spiritual realm because, you know, at 15, your mom ain't got to feed you no more. Amen. Actually, if you're independent, you already know how to cook for yourself. If you're really independent, you ain't waiting for mama to come home and put nothing in the pot. You already got it in the pot and you can take care of yourself by the time you're 15. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know how to do certain things. If there's an expectation of maturity when you reach 15. And if we have that expectation of maturity for a natural child, what about the church of God? Amen. There's an expectation of maturity when we reach 15. Listen, when a 15-year-old begins to gain self-confidence, they begin to desire more freedom. Hallelujah. 15-year-old, they begin to gain self-confidence and they begin to desire more freedom. And they said, now when this happens, this tends to lead to frequent disagreements over the rules. I want to read it again. When they reach 15, right? They begin to get a little bit more self-confidence because they've been well taught. Now they can tell you what the Bible say. I'm going to say amen to the lights. They can tell you what the Bible say at 15. They can tell you what the prophet said at 15. And it's okay that they can do that. That's what you're trying to get them to. But you got to understand at 15 you still don't know everything. Huh? Right? There's still some things to learn in life, but you know, here it is. They begin to get some self-confidence. They begin to desire more freedom, and this tends to lead to frequent disagreements over the rules. The 15-year-olds are starting to challenge why we got certain things in place. That's what happens when they get 15. But eventually they begin to realize, amen, the rule was there so it could protect you. Yes, amen, it's not to hinder you, it's to protect you. Right. Come on, somebody, right? Amen. So, you know, another thing that happens, amen, with 15-year-olds, they said most girls, by the time they turn 15, they have reached their full height. Now, it didn't say that they wouldn't grow anymore. Say they reach their full height. Now there's other ways they can grow. Right? But you got to understand that, I mean, growth didn't stop at 15. There's still other ways, amen, that you can grow. And the other thing they said, that's for a girl, but for a boy, when he reaches 15, he still may have a couple more years where he will grow. Now, oftentimes, you know, parents are raising children, and when they see that boy just kind of hit 15, all of a sudden he go through a growth spurt, and the clothes you just bought for him. I mean, you just bought them. Hundreds of dollars spent. And all of a sudden, this boy come home overnight, something happened to him, and the clothes, they what we call high waters. And the boy can't go out like that, so you back out buying some more clothes. And you finally get that taken care of. And next thing you know, overnight, that boy done 2 more inches. Right? You wonder where this came from. But it just shows at 15, they haven't completely stopped growing. Oh, my God, my God. And I'm here to tell you, as a church, we reach 15, but we haven't completely stopped growing. And we can grow in multiple ways. We can grow spiritually by going deeper in the Word of God. We can grow with members. It's multiple ways that we can grow.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Not just. I'm talking about everybody. We were just talking about here on Wednesday night. You know how the commission is to go into all the world, right? We all got a responsibility of carrying the gospel somewhere. Yes. Amen. All of us can grow somewhere. Amen. You might not get any, you know, as far as when they say that the woman, when she hits 15, her height probably stops right there, right? Her height. But there's other areas that she can grow. She can grow mentally, spiritually. She can still grow, yeah. Right? So as a church, we want to continue to grow. Don't stop at 15. Right. Amen. Let's keep growing. And now understand when we're growing, there will be what we call growing pains. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. As we grow, there will be growing pains. Amen. So when you know you start feeling, saying, man, I'm feeling a little pain, this changing, that changing, it's okay. It's all for a good purpose. Come on, church. Amen. One day I'm going to tell y'all, go back to that sermon that I preached at our 15th year anniversary. All right. But I just thank God for these things. You know, as I just begin to kind of comb the scriptures well, amen, and just kind of finding some scriptures that ended, I mean, that had the, you know, the number 15, whether it was the 15th chapter or the 15th verse in a particular book, you know, and chapter, I just kind of found about 10 of them that I want to share with you. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity, amen, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. And Brother Branham tells us clearly, says there is no student who does not know that the seed of the woman was Christ, who came by the instrumentality of God apart from human intercourse. It is also just as well known that the predicted bruising of the serpent's head was in an actuality, a prophecy concerning what Christ would accomplish against Satan at the cross. There at the cross, Christ would bruise the head of Satan while Satan would bruise the heel of the Lord. Amen. Genesis 3:15. I also found Exodus 14 and 15. Amen. It says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forth. Hallelujah. Why cry? Speak. Amen. I found another one in Joshua 24 and 15. Amen. It says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, and whose land ye dwell. But as for me, amen, in my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that scripture there in Joshua 24 and 15. Can I go on to 1 Samuel chapter 30? Amen, starting at verse 15. Look at what happens here. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou would neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, there they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David, I like this part, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Amen. See, God brought a restoration to David, amen, and that started in verse 15. I'm looking for God to bring a restoration to us and let it start in the year, our 15th year. Yes, can I go on a little further? Yes, Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Uh-huh. Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? There was a challenge issued in verse 15. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, I like this, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So the challenge was issued and the response was given. And when those boys say, just let it be written in your books that we're not going to bow. Uh-huh. Yeah. Later on, God showed up and delivered those boys from that fire furnace. Not just showed up, he joined them in the fire. Hallelujah. We invite him to join us in the midst of whatever we're going through. I look at, amen, Luke 15. I won't read it all, but I'll just tell you, if you read it later on, there you see the parable of the lost sheep. You also see the parable of the lost coin. And you also see the parable of the lost son. All found in Luke 15. Hallelujah. John 4 and 15. It says this. Amen. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So this woman at the well, when she met Jesus, amen, they had a real nice connection there. And when she met Jesus and she said, now you asking me for water and everything. Don't you know we not supposed to be kind of having this conversation? My people don't kind of fellowship with your people, you know, and say, we worship over here, y'all worship over there. All this type of division was there. He said, if you knew who you was talking to, you would ask me for some water. Say, the water I give, it'll spring up out of your belly, out of your soul. It'll spring up to new life. Say, the water I give is something totally different than what you're drawing. She said, sir, I need that kind of water. And I wonder how many need that type of water today. The water that Jesus has to offer. Glory to God. See, John 4 is where we get our church name from. It's from that story. Because he told her, he said, you talk about worship. He said, but there comes a time. Amen. When God's going to be looking for some true worshipers and saying they that worship him must. They can't do it no other way, but they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, that's where the church name come from. It's birthed out of that story with the interaction with the woman at the well. Let me go on to 1 John chapter 2 and 15. It says, love not the world. Amen. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. If we're going to serve God, let's serve God with everything we got. And I got one more that I want to read before we just break into something here. Glory to God. Ruth 1 and 15. Now, I'm always blessed by this particular passage because I could go through this church with most of the saints, and I could probably, I could recall how many of you all got here, how you all became a part of, amen, this ministry. There are different things that happen along the way that, you know, you don't forget, amen, you just don't forget, right? And I remember, Brother and Sister Wisdom, they were praying about a church to go to. We knew Sister Wisdom, we knew Brother Andrew, we knew Sister Tracy. Amen. Brother Wisdom hadn't relocated here just yet. And when it came down, you know, they were praying and looking for a church to go to. One day they walked in. I think somehow way they got connected with Sister Michelle. And Sister Michelle invited them, said, y'all can come and just visit, you know, one Sunday. So when they came to visit, amen, that Sunday morning, whatever it was that were preached was exactly what they were talking about the night before at their house. God picked up their whole conversation and preached it back to them. Sometime when God do that, that's a confirmation to you that you're in the right place. Right? So they just kind of held on to that. Like, wow, that was something. They went home and the next day, the next week they came back and here it is again. It happened a second time. What they talked about the day before, preached from the pulpit. They're like, oh my, this has got to be God. So Brother Wisdom, you know, he he uh, He looked at Sister Wisdom and just kind of gave her, he said, I got my answer. He just said, I got my answer. I don't need to ask no more. I got my answer. I know where I'm supposed to be. And Sister Wisdom looked at him, and she gave him the response. She said, where you go, I'm a go. Say, where you worship, I'm a worship. Say, your God going to be my God. Your people going to be my people. That's the way it's going to be for me. So ever since that time, they've been right here. And you know what? We find that story in the book of Ruth. Yes, sir. Chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Can we read it? And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. We need some folk with conviction like that. Amen. They know that they're where God wants them to be. Uh-huh. No matter what trial come up, I ain't going nowhere. Listen, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What a decision Ruth had to make. And let me tell you something. I've watched many of you all make similar decisions to become part of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. And I want to tell you today, I thank God for the decisions that you've made. Well, no matter the criticism, no matter what it was, amen, that you might have had to go through, and some of y'all done went through a lot, but you made it. And guess what? We still standing 15 years later. Amen. We're still standing 15 years later. Hey, God is a good God. God is a good God. I need to just pause here and just kind of just ask a question, a couple questions. Those of you that have been with Spirit and Truth Tabernacle from 11 to 15 years, 11 to 15 years, stand to your feet. 11 to 15 years. Praise the Lord. Y'all give him a hand. Just thank God for these that have been standing for so long. And I know we got a couple more that's not here today, but these have been some people that they've been there. They done seen a lot, done been through a lot. I just appreciate each one of you all. Those that are in the 6 to 10 year range, 6 to 10. If you've been a part of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle from 6 to 10 years, you stand. 6 to 10. All right, let's give them a hand. And those of you that have been apart from 5 years and under, you stand. 5 years and under. Look at that. Now, praise the Lord. I just want to say God has been good, amen, throughout these different seasons. And you know, and just, I mean, you can see where we went from growth, amen, from that 11 to a 15-year range, amen. If I would have, now the 15-year people, is only a few of us. It's only a few of us 15-year people, right? But I'm going to share with you all the story of how everything got started. And the reason I do that, I learned a long time ago, is that if you don't give your testimony, the devil will give you one. If you don't say what it was like, then the devil going to make up a story on you. And everybody going to go believe in what the devil got to say. Right. Come on, somebody. That's why you got to give your own testimony. Yes, sir. Right. But there's a couple things. That's why I want to go back to John 15. That's the last scripture that I left. And I said I had 10 scriptures. The last one is John 15. And I want to just kind of go back and read that, and I just want to give y'all a personal testimony here, you know, for how this church got started. Let's go back and read, before I read John 15. Just a personal testimony of me getting started in ministry. One of the things, well, there was a thing that happened to me in my life. Seven different people at different times had come to me and was kind of, you know, calling me up into ministry. Let me just put it that way. One of them happened to be Brother Fred Mullins. I was at a meeting. I was a young man. I was at a meeting, and I drove up, and we were going. There was a meeting. The New York church from New York was going to South Carolina, and we went to that meeting, and they had announced at the meeting, said, we want all the ministers to sit on the platform. We want all ministers, you know, come, and y'all sit on the platform tonight. Brother Coleman was going to give his personal testimony. So I was there with another brother. Amen. My brother-in-law at the time, we drove up and, you know, we went and as I was walking through the church door, Brother Fred was standing there and he stopped, and me and my brother-in-law walking through, and he stopped me and he said, hey, young man, are you a minister? And I looked at him and said, no, I'm not. I'm like, well, why would he say that to me? How come he say that to this guy here? You know, he said it to me. So I said, no, I went and sat down where I normally sit down, and I ain't say no more. Well, you know, a few years later, his assistant, you know, Brother Isaiah Chisholm, was here preaching in Okeechobee. And I went up and I sang a song. And after the service, Brother Isaiah came to me and said, hey, brother, are you a minister? I say, no, sir. I'm not a minister. I'm just, you know, just a brother. You know, I just love the Lord. So he's like, okay, all right. And I was like, all right, I don't know why people keep asking me this. So one day I was at home, you know, and there was a, we lived in a cul-de-sac, amen, and we had townhomes and everything. So we lived in a particular area. There's like four townhomes in this cul-de-sac, and there would be four townhomes in one building. It's probably so four buildings like that. So I'm living on this side of the cul-de-sac, and there's other people live on the other side. All the parking's right there in between. And one day I happened to get home early from work. And as I got home, I'm jumping out the car, and you know, you see your neighbors, you wave at them, you know, periodically when you see them. So I was jumping out the car to go into the house. I got home, you know, really early. It must have been like 3 o'clock in the day. And I got home, and there was a lady, you know, one of the neighbors. She's an older lady sitting on the other side of the cul-de-sac, and she just yelled out, "Young man, young man!" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I went running to her. I said, "Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?" She said, "Young man." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you a minister?" I said, "No, ma'am." And then she did me like this. I said, "What in the world does that mean? You know, what is that, Lord?" And she said, "Oh," and she just walked away, just shaking her head. I'm like, "Nah, how you gonna leave me like that?" I walked away with that. I said, "Lord, I don't know what that was," you know. So, you know, I just kept going, and then, you know, I end up going for my master's degree, and I was in college. And when I got to college, amen, there was a, you know, we had my first teacher in college was a retired preacher, and a Lutheran preacher. So he wanted us to get up and talk for about 5 minutes on business and this little subject that we had. It was a business class. And so I'm sitting there telling everybody, no, let's not talk right now. I was so nervous. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do nothing. I said, please don't. So they finally said, well, let's all do our talking, and then we'll go to lunch, and then you can come back and give us some critique. And I said, okay. So everybody had to get up there and talk. So I got up and I did my little talk on business, and I sat down. So then he said, well, do y'all want me to give y'all critique now? Or do y'all want to do it after lunch? So everybody in the class said, let's do it now. I said, oh, no. This man getting ready to rake me over the coals. Lord, I don't want to hear this. So he started telling everybody, said, you did this, and if you would do that better, this would be good. And if you would do this, that would be good. And if you would do this, that would be good. So he's just going through, and he's saying, Jack. I said, oh, here it comes. He said, Jack is a natural. I said, what? He said, yeah, Jack is a natural. It just seemed like everything just flowed. And I was as nervous as I don't know what. So I'm like, Lord, I wasn't expecting to hear that. So I'm sitting there for lunch, and this guy, he was a captain in the military, in the Marines. His name was Captain Carr. He said, Jack. I said, yes, sir. He says, anybody ever tell you that you sound like a reverend? I said, wait a minute. We here for business. We just talking business. This ain't got nothing to do with no church. He said, anybody ever tell you sound like a reverend? So I say, no, come on now. So one of the girls piped up. She said, yeah, when you was up there, I didn't know whether to say amen or what. All in class, right? I didn't know whether to say amen or what. I didn't know what to say. I say, all right, okay, all right, thank y'all, all right. I just leave it like that. So he wouldn't let it go. He said, Jack. I said, yes. How old are you? And at the time, I was 33 years old. I said, I'm 33. He said, okay. He said, Jack.
said, oh, Lord, here we go. He
said, how old was Jesus when he died? I said, what? Jesus was 33 when he died. So what he was telling me right then is I need to die to myself and surrender to what the Lord had for me. So I that was number four. And then I happened to go to my grandma's church. My grandma, this is where I learned, got my Pentecostal roots at grandma's church. And I walked in church one Friday. It was a Sunday. We were going for family and friends day or something like that. And I walked in church. And after church, her pastor, Bishop John D. Alexander, he came up and he had glasses on. And me and my daddy was standing there talking. And he walked up to me and he had his glasses. Then he dropped them. And he looked at me. He said, young man. I said, yes, sir. When are you going to do what the Lord told you to do? I said, sir, I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. He said, no. When are you going to do what the Lord told you to do? Sir, he said, look, let me tell you something. He said, if you ever need a place to practice, you come. And you come right here to my church. You can practice right here. Now, that was a Pentecostal preacher opening his door. So when you see me kind of opening the door to other young ministries, that's because somebody did that for me, right? So, you know, he said, if you need a place to practice, and I couldn't believe it, you know, that he was doing that. And, you know, there was I said, well, you know, and I never actually got a chance to take him up on that offer, but I said, Lord, I thank you for that. And, you know, but it was another confirmation. And one day, you know, my grandma, she had come to the house, and we was all supposed to be going out to dinner, and grandma stopped me before we could go out. She said, Jack, the Lord told me to tell you something. Jack. I said, oh, Lord, grandma got me. Say the Lord told me he calling you and he wants you to get started. I said, grandma, I love the Lord. I said, no, that ain't it, Jack. God wants you to get started with a ministry. I said, oh, Lord, grandma. Okay, thank you. You know, I just left it like that. But that was six. I told y'all on Wednesday night, my seventh one was when I went out to my cousin's house fixing his computer. And when I'm fixing the computer, there he was reading Joshua 1 over the top of me. He asked me about how was church today. And I told him, I didn't go to church today. He like, what you mean you didn't go to church? I said, no, I didn't go to church today. How was church last week? I didn't go to church last week. What in the world? So he said, okay, I know what this is. God is calling you. And he began to tell me his old testimony, how he got called and how he was so faithful just preaching to him and his wife. That was all in the church for about 10 years, just him and his wife. But he was faithful doing that. He's saying how God just began to act. He was just sharing his whole testimony with him. I said, Lord, I thank you for this. Then he took me to Joshua 1, and he just read over Joshua 1 to me. And I said, Lord, I know this is you speaking to me. And I said, this is it. And I had to come to a place where I was just, you know, surrendering to God. So as I got to that point, there is a scripture that God gave me. That's where John 15 comes in. Can we read this again? It says, and I am the true vine. And my father is the husbandman. See, it's one thing to just kind of go out doing stuff because you're feeling something, but it's another thing when you're basing it on the word. Yeah. Can I go further? Y'all, is this okay today?
Yes,
amen. Amen. It says, I'm the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, right there, I got stuck. I got stuck on that scripture because I'm like, Lord, why, you know, I'm a part of a fruitful ministry. Why would you take me out? You know, why would you do that? He said, just look at it. He said, even though it's bearing fruit, right? He said, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Right. So what he can begin to show me is that sometimes you got to go through a cutting process in order to bring forth more fruit. Even that ministry, I will have to go through a cutting process in order to bring forth more fruit. Yes, can I tell y'all something? Yes, 2015, we lost a lot of people right here in the church. Uh-huh. It was a cutting process. Yes, right. But when I act for those that have been here 5 years and under, more stood up in that group than any other group. It shows that it was a pruning process in order to bring forth more fruit. Yes. But at that time, the way I was looking at it, like, Lord, are you calling me out of this ministry because you want to bring forth more fruit here at this church? Not only that, but you also want to bring forth more fruit in my life. So I say, Lord, I'm sitting with that now. You know, I'm gonna just drop this in. Brother Branham was talking about in a particular quote here. He was saying how sometimes a pastor, the way that he has to hear from God, say he don't see visions. He don't see visions. He says, so what happens to him is that God, he goes by inspiration of presentment. That's what the prophet said. So he goes by the inspiration of presentment. He says, so God will present something to that pastor, and he has to just kind of flow with it, and God will prove himself in what he presented to him. He don't have no vision. It's just by faith. And here, no vision, I had a scripture. John 15. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking on the scripture, and I kept on going, saying, now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear its bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept, ye abide in me. Now I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And as I'm just sitting there processing, different things would come. I remember an older sister, when she heard that we had started a church, she sent word through her granddaughter. She said, tell Brother Jack that whatever he start preaching, keep preaching. Don't change what he say from his start. See, because many churches have failed because the preacher began to change. Let down the standard. Say, keep preaching. I said, well, I'm going to take that as advice, and I'm going to keep that. Right? But as I was sitting there processing this scripture, just, me and the Lord personally, we went to a convention up in Pennsylvania. And when I was at the convention, I'm like, Lord, and I hadn't even told my wife about this scripture. I'm just holding on to it. I went to the convention, and this brother, Brother David Musgrove, he walks up to the pulpit, and he says, he wanted to preach a sermon, and he says, let's turn to John 15. And he opens up his Bible. He begins to read John 15, these same scriptures. And the title of his sermon was Fruit, Much Fruit. More fruit. Soon as he said John 15 and said that title, I said, God, you speaking to me. I sat right there and I listened to every word that man was saying, because I knew God was speaking directly to me. And it was at that moment I said, Lord, now I know this is you. I don't know what to do with this. I say, if we start a church, what's going to be the name? At that moment I prayed, and God said, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. And I held on to it. And I knew that was in the Bible. I said, I just held on to it. I said, I didn't say nothing to my wife. I didn't get too excited. I'm going to just leave this alone. Well, I waited 2 years, two whole years. And as I waited, that's why I said, a man's gift make room for itself. You just wait on the Lord. God will do it in his timing. Right. Amen. So I waited that for 2 years. And then, the Lord started dealing with my wife and dreams and, and as we begin to get the interpretation for the dreams, we knew that God was moving. So we start talking a little bit about churches. Like, well, what's going to be the name of the church? I said, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. You're like, well, how can I say? Well, this is, I walked through the whole process. This is what God said 2 years ago, and I just been waiting on God to deal with you. See, sometimes you got to learn how to wait. Amen. You can't just, you got to wait to God. Let God allow other people to see the whole picture, and God deal with them in their own individual ways. As he dealt with us, I said, when you got your wife standing with you, then you can stand. Hello, somebody. Hello. Right? And before we left, the church we were fellowshipping with, we met with our pastor and we talked to him. And at that time, amen, we went in to meet with him. I just told him, I said, pastor, I just want to let you know. I said, I just feel that whatever the Lord wants me to do, whatever he's called me to do, whatever he wants me to do, I say, I feel free that I can do what God called me to do. Amen. I said, I feel free. And see, I had to know within myself. I had to have my personal revelation that I was free to do what God called me to do. Somebody else might not have felt that way, but I say, I believe I'm free. Right? And as long as I believe it and I can see it in the Bible and I can see it in the message, then I'm going to go do what God called me to do. And I just left it like that. The question was asked to my wife, are you ready for this? And I love her response. I'll never forget it. She said, she just looked and said, nobody could ever be ready for this. Nobody. I don't care how much you prepare, how much you try to prepare, you'll never be ready for this. But all you can do is yield yourself to God and just allow him to get all the glory and all the honor out of your life. I walked out of that office proud of my wife. And I'm going to tell you, I'm still proud of her today. I'm still proud of her today. I've watched her go through a lot. Y'all don't know what my wife go through. Y'all absolutely. First of all, just putting up with me. It's a lot to put up with me. Y'all don't know. Ask my mama.
Ask my brother. Ask people that know me. I'm a piece of work. I'm a construction site. He's still working on me. All right? But you know, I mean, for her to even just put up with me, and then just some of the pressures and some of the other things that she has to deal with, some people just don't know. And I'm going to tell you, God gave me her for a reason, especially knowing that I'd be dealing with a lot of sisters. Because I'm a man don't understand women. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. It's the truth anyhow. A man don't understand women. It take women to understand women. Huh? A man will sit and listen to you talk all day. And he just, see, a man just constantly thinking about knight and shining armor. Let's get this thing fixed and, you know, and walk out looking like a hero. But he ain't heard. Now, he just been set up. But his wife will say, you need to kind of go back on that one. All right. God, she cover his blind spots. Right. Yeah. That's why I thank God for a godly wife. Yes, yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. I don't keep no secrets from her. Yes. I want everybody to know that. I don't keep, ain't nobody going to come between me and my wife. Yes. I don't care who you are. I ain't going to let you come between me and my wife. If you don't want her to know about it, don't tell me. Don't tell me if you don't want her to know about it. Amen. I might not say it exactly how you say it, but she going to know. Praise the Lord. That's how we done kept the devil out of here for 15 years. No. Look, dear, this is what's going on, right? If I start keeping secrets on it, people feel like they can come to me that way. Huh? Next thing you know, people invite me over to, well, could you come to my house and don't bring your wife? No. Don't bring my wife? You done lost your mind. Praise the Lord, somebody. I learned that from my pastor. He took his wife everywhere he went. You always saw them together. All right. All right now. I learned it. Even sometimes sitting in meetings, sometimes she have to be there, his wife. Especially if it's another sister. Uh-huh. His wife going to be there. Oh, glory to God. You know, I'm going back to this testimony, but, you know, even nowadays, you need a witness when you're counseling people. Because you don't know who's going to come through here. And, I need to talk to the pastor. Okay, me and this brother right here are going to talk to you together. Why? Because I need a witness, just in case you say I said something that I didn't say. Amen. Or some little boy come in and say I did something to him that I didn't do. I want a witness. Even some little girl, right? I just want to talk to the pastor. Yeah, you're going to talk to the pastor and his wife. I do that to protect you and me. Now, if I'm doing that, you should be doing that. Don't be running over nobody's house. You married. Talk about you. What? You don't go to their house like that. You married. That's how you keep the devil out. Amen, church. Right? This how we keep the devil out. You got to raise it an octave. You know you're married. Don't do stuff like that. Get out of there as fast as you possibly can. Amen. Especially if you know you got an attraction. Huh? Don't hold their hand too long. Shake and run. Uh-huh. Ain't nothing but the truth. Oh, God bless you. You keep on playing with that devil. Right? You'll be further than you ever thought you'd ever go. And then you come on and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. He going to forgive you. But if you could avoid it, avoid it. Amen. All right. So I've learned that a long time ago. That's why I don't counsel sisters by myself. Somebody get to crying and everything. I ain't good. going back to my testimony here. This is how we keep the devil out. This is exactly how we keep the devil out. And sometimes the young people might not realize what I'm doing. So sometimes it's good just to stop and just break things down. I mean, we keep our eyes on the devil. Keep our eyes on the devil. And he always looking for some kind of way to get in. I'm trying to get a little foothold. And like, please don't do that, because that's the devil, right? And as soon as you get in, oh, I didn't mean that. I know you did. That's why I was telling you ahead of time. I know you wouldn't mean to do it. That's why I was telling you ahead of time. Don't allow the devil to get you there. Amen. And stay as far away as you possibly can. Amen. I might as well say this while I'm here. The Lord has blessed Brother Caleb with a nice little apartment. God has blessed Brother Stephen with a nice little apartment. I thank God for blessing them, brothers. Amen. I'm so glad y'all clapped. Now, I'm going to say something else, and I want y'all clapping again on this one. I don't want the sisters, single sisters, hanging out at them brothers' apartments. The brothers can go, not the sisters. And if one of the sisters get an apartment, brothers, don't be hanging out at that sister apartment. Amen? Y'all want to keep the devil away? This is how you keep the devil away. Somebody, oh, I was just bringing something. Oh, Lord, you ain't bringing nothing over here. Better keep it at your house. I'll meet you at the fellowship in public, but you ain't coming over here. Amen. That's how you keep the devil out. Amen. All right. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, God. That's a single sister shouldn't even be inviting brothers to come stay at her house because they ain't got no hotel. I'm sorry. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you with some money for the hotel, but you ain't staying here. If it's a single sister coming, all right, we can deal with that, right? She might be a married sister without a husband, too. We might be able to work with that. And sometimes, it all depends on the situation. Amen. I'm just leave it like that. Sometimes you got to be careful. Some couples you might say, we're going to help you get a hotel. Others you might say, okay, y'all, we'll let y'all come and stay. I'm a clap. So finally, when we decided to start the church, we were in my mother-in-law's driveway at her house in Green Acres, and that's when me and my wife had that conversation about what's the name of the church going to be, and I told her, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. She was right there with me. And we started the church there in our home in Lantana, Florida, and we were meeting there, amen, for about a year, just us. My wife, my three daughters. I used to take, we didn't have iPads back then. So I had a whole bunch of paper. I print out all my quotes, and I had all this paper, and we had a little piano there sitting in the house, and man, it was rough preaching to that church, y'all. I'm telling y'all. It's rough. Amen. Them four members, amen, and my oldest daughter, I'd be up there reading, and I'd do something like this, and she'll sit in the audience, and she'll do, everything I do, she just mimic me, right? I say, what a member here, And so I'm just going about a year, like that. And what I would do periodically, because I wanted my family to still stay in fellowship, I'd go to different services, not fellowship. I remember one time the Lord had told me to stay home and minister a sermon. I said, no, I'm going for fellowship today. So I went all the way out to Okeechobee and I went to minister. It seemed like Brother Smiley changed his whole sermon once I walked through the door. And he showed, preached some things, and I walked out of there. I said, ooh, Lord, I ain't coming back until God tell me to come back. I said, Lord told me to stay home, and I didn't obey him, so he showed, put it on me today. And I thank God that Brother Smiley preached it that way. It helped me to be obedient. And as we were there in the house, it took about a year. And within that year, this pulpit that you see is, my wife saw me up there struggling trying to preach, and my wife say, I got to find him a pulpit. That's how you know she's behind you. Right. So she went on eBay and she found this pulpit. I was going to school for my master's down in Fort Lauderdale, and she found a church in Fort Lauderdale that was getting rid of a pulpit, I think, for $50. And she said, we got to, you know, let's go in and get that pulpit for you. I said, my, okay, I wouldn't even think about no pulpit. She got that pulpit. I went down there, picked it up, put it inside my car, and I brought it back to the house. And, man, this thing ain't light. This ain't light. This heavy. This is stock solid wood. But my wife used to help me lift it in and out of the garage and put it inside the church and set it up in the living room for service. I appreciate a wife like that. About a year, we got on the one day, I preached a sermon. I prophesied, don't be surprised if people start joining us. I prophesied that. About 3 weeks later, after that went forth, got a telephone call. Sister Dixon, she had been going out to, you know, Okeechobee. She just needed a change because the drive was just really wearing her body down. So she needed, she said, she didn't have a car at the time, so she wanted to come to church. So she said, Brother Jack, I'm going to have my son bring me, and we're going to come to church on this Sunday. I said, okay, Sister Dixon. And so Brother Roy came with Sister Dixon on that Sunday. And right before service, about 10:20, service started at 10:30. Y'all know I like to start on time, right? But 10:20, I got a call. And sister say, y'all having church today? I say, yeah. I say, can I come? Yeah, you can come. Okay, I'm on the way right now. It's my mother-in-law. And she come beelining it. And all three of them showed up on the same day for the same service. And we had church. And I tell you what, my mother-in-law been with me since that time. And I am so grateful, amen, that she's been with me. During that same time, Mama, you know, started coming. And Mama made a comment. She said, you know, I felt like I wanted to come and help the ministry. I just wanted to come and be a help to the ministry. Then later on, she said, well, I found out the ministry was a help to me. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in that, and so we were still fellowshipping in the home. And then Sister Cobb, she happened to be going up and down the streets with her business, and she was there in Green Acres, and she saw a little building set for rent. She said, y'all need to go check out this building. It's for rent in Green Acres. I said, okay, I'll go check it out. And I went and looked, and I looked at that building. I looked at the space. I said, oh, it had partitions up and all kind of stuff. I said, we can't do nothing with this. Can't put no church in here. But my wife is a woman of vision, right? And she looked at it and said, oh, yeah, we can have church in here. Knock this wall out and knock that wall out and do this, and we'll paint this and we'll paint that. When y'all see that little, the way this paint and stuff like this in here, that's just Erica's touch. If it would have been my touch, white walls. all around, but she made it feel, she gave it a welcoming presence. And so, you know, she went and said, no, we'll get somebody and they can do this thing. I said, okay, all right, I'm going to trust your judgment on this. And we had a brother Richard. He come in and he started knocking this out and knocking that out. And the next thing I looked, said, well, we can get about 50 people in here. And I said, man, we can have church in here. And, you know, and I realized that at that time when we were knocking down the walls, that was very significant for me in my ministry, because the people that God was bringing to this church was people from other facets of the message. And in the message, we had walls built. If you didn't believe what we believe, you on the other side of the wall. But in order to get us on the same side of the wall, we got to knock the wall down. Then it put us all in the same room. Glory! And when we knocked them walls down, I began to see some things, and God just began to, you know, just show, you know, that he was with us. Remember I told you that sometimes what God have to do is just show a preacher, he just give him a little something. He don't give him a vision. He just put a little something in his spirit, and that's God leading a man. And Brother Branham called it a man, let me just get that again. I don't want to misquote it. My Lord. The inspiration of presentment, right? That's what he called the inspiration of presentment. So, you know, when we were there for a number of years, and many of you, I could just go through this church. I remember Sister Michelle when she got there to the first church. She was, we were working on it. we were working on the church. And Sister Cobb and on the phone and said, y'all got a church? Yeah, we got a building. What? Well, where's it at? It's out here in Lake Worth in Green Acres. All right. I gotta stop by and pick up something. So Sister Michelle came and she walked in and she was sitting there and said, you have to be watch what you say out your mouth. Cause she released something out of her mouth. And she was in there. She say, I can see myself sitting right here. Yes. Sister Michelle sitting right there. And been with us for a long time. I certainly appreciate her. I remember her and Sister Tina, they was trying to decide what they was going to do. And we were going to a meeting up in Georgia. And I let them hold my car, you know, to drive on up there. And when they got into the car, there was a song playing. And they thought I set them up. But I didn't. That's just the way it was. But the song started playing. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. And they say, Brother Jack did this. I said, no, that ain't me. That's God, right? And and everybody that knows, if you've come from another church, I'm talking about immediately coming from another church. I'm not talking about you was, you know, out of church for a while, but I'm talking about you just left another church. My advice when we sit down and talk gonna be make sure you've talked to your pastor, because I'm gonna talk to him. Anybody can lift their hand and be the witness that has happened. All right. Okay, that's the way we do things. You know why we do that? That keep the fellowship amongst the churches. We don't give the devil no space. We don't give him no space. But so when they all showed up, and then you know God just began to add, you know, to the church, and as we got a little larger, amen. And like I said, Sister Tina and Sister Michelle's in that con. Both of them at the same time made a decision that we're gonna make Spirit and Truth our church home. And I remember, you know, we was at Sister Tina's house, and Sister Michelle's daughter, Shanice, she walked up to me and she said, are you the preacher at the church? And I looked at her, I say, I guess I am the preacher at the church, you know. But you know, we went through all that, and God just began to add here and there. We got up to about, you know, 40, 50 at that church. And I said, man, we ain't going to be able to add no more. We couldn't have meetings. We couldn't do anything. I said, you know, we're going to have to take a step of faith. We got to find somewhere else. And that's when the Lord just began to put, and I think around that same time, that's when Brother Brown began to come. Glory to God. Brother Brown was coming out there to the other church, and he would bring Sister Brown with him, right? And then as Brother Brown was there, I remember, and I'll never forget, I'll tell you, things that happen that you just don't forget. Right, and before we come here, Brother Caleb Duran had come and he preached a sermon out there, and he stopped in the middle of the sermon and said, Brother Jack, you lean in a particular way. God said, go that way. He gonna be with you. And I was trying to get all the brothers to support, you know, us coming here because our rent was getting ready to double. And I'm like, man, it's already tough paying this. How are we gonna be able to do that? I said, I don't know. He said, you lean a certain way and go that way. God will be with you. You know what? We've been here 10 years. And we paid rent every month. Amen. I'll be honest now. Sometimes they do call for it. But we get it to them. God has been good. God has been good. But, so as I was, you know, just, you know, we the Lord spoke that and kind of gave confirmation through the brother prophesying like that. So we took it and we came on here and, man, I remember that first service. We were just marching around this place doing the Jericho March. And I knew my brother knew how to build and everything. And we want to be specific and get him to come in here and help us, you know. And you know, when you calling people like that, you know you got ulterior motives. You know that. You know that. Just hopefully. My brother come in here and building. He got out of here as soon as he could, right? And the reason he did that, because he told me later, he said, you don't want to be around that anointing. You don't want to be around that anointing. So you'll break down in it. And nobody want to be around that anointing. Right? So, but when God did what he did in my brother's life, now he can't get away from the anointing. He create the anointing. And I thank God for him and his wife. When y'all go next door, y'all going to see what my sister-in-law does. That's her ministry. But when we came here, and I remember, man, we had those chairs that y'all gonna sit on next door. Them chairs been with us a long time, and we ain't getting rid of them. They tell a story. When y'all come to pray, you get on your knees, the cushions, think about Sister Dixon. She was our first charter member, and she made those chairs. I mean, she made the covers for people to sit on because them chairs was hard. But then we took them, we made them prayer cushions when we got here, right? But, you know, we've been using them, praying, using them as prayer cushions. And man, just what a blessing it's been. But I remember when we bought these chairs, we bought 120 of them for the upper room, right? That's what we did. We bought 120 for the upper room experience. And we had that just a few weeks ago, the start of it. God got more he want to do. But when we bought them chairs, and Brother Brown, he was losing his eyesight. And Brother Brown came to church one Sunday, and we was up here, you know, just worshiping. He walked in, and I think he could only see out one eye. Brother Brown got over here right where Sister Amanda's sitting, and he looked, and he sat down and put his arm on the chair. He like, ooh, what? Y'all done stepped it up in here. Man, I'll never forget that. Amen. He was just so excited, you know, just seeing what the Lord was doing. And church, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. I believe we were going to a camp meeting to preach at the tent. And that year, I didn't want to be at the tent. I didn't want to be there. I'm like, man, and a couple of reasons. I'm like, nah, preach outside the tent. I don't know about that. And I'm like, I don't really want to be there. And I, you know, we end up going anyway. Me and Brother Smiley, we end up going. And I remember watching Brother Smiley preach that Friday night, and there was a big bug, big, huge bug, just come out of nowhere and just hit him in the back while he was preaching. I said, Lord, if that happened to me tomorrow night, I think the sermon going to be done. Because I can't handle this. And by God's grace, he sent some rain. And when the rain came, that pushed the bugs away. I say, thank God. And that night we were preaching, and underneath the tent, Brother Solomon, Sister Naomi, and Brother Kalima, all of them, and Brother Kalima, boy, he you know when he in church. And I mean, I'll never forget them. You know, we were there. We just had a good time just around the Word of God. And then I think a few months later, we were there at Brother Fred's, and I preached again. And then it was during that time, Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi was praying about, you know, what church they should go to. And Brother Solomon said, he talked to Sister Naomi, said, now, what you think about Brother Jack? She said, I think he can be my pastor. And way back then, I ain't even want to go to the tent, but God needed me at the tent because there was a family there that was looking to come back home. They were from Florida, right? So God orchestrated all of that. Through the Johnsons coming, we got Sister Sherelle. Amen. Right? And Sister Sherelle's father is the one that introduced Brother Solomon to the message. He walked up to him one day and he was witnessing to him. He said, God sent a prophet and you missed it. Now, what would you do? What would you do if somebody walked up to you and said, God sent a prophet and you missed it? What prophet? What you talking about? But it sparked something in him. Look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. Our Sister Sam and her brothers. I remember Sister Sam and Sister Rolande. Anybody remember them? Them two sisters, my God. You know, you would see them from church to church to church. Everywhere you was there, them two sisters was there. And I said, man, I admire them sisters. I admire Sister Sam and Sister Rolande. I always appreciated them. And they were at a church, and, you know, so just a few things changed there, and they were looking for a place to fellowship. God allowed them to come here and make Spirit and Truth their home. Right? I remember those days. I remember those days. And through Sister Sam, we got her brothers. Praise the Lord for that, right? Mark and Ernst, amen, came through that. And just, I can't go through all y'all. But y'all know I know your story. I know your story. I know
the Samuel kids was going to church with their dad, and daddy, we don't understand nothing. We don't know nothing. We don't, daddy, we don't. Little daddy came to me. We was having a fellowship like this. Now, y'all got to be careful about having these fellowships, because Brother Samuel came to the fellowship, and after the fellowship, he pulled me to the side. He said, my kids say they don't know nothing. They don't understand nothing. And, you know, I'm a musician. I go from church to church. He said, they say they want to come to this church. So I'm leaving them in your hands.
Yes.
And he dropped off keys. And all of them, we thank God for all the Samuel kids. I mean, what talents. What talents, right? And, you know, just thinking about how God just orchestrated all of this. But it took a step of faith. And as I go back in my mind and I really reflect on all these things, all I can say is, God, you made a way. You did this. This is nothing that Brother Jack did, nothing that my family did. This is all God. And I just had to take a moment just to tell him thank you. Just to tell him thank you. Pray with me. Father, I just wanted to take a little trip down memory lane today. Reflecting on your goodness, your mercy that has been given to us for these 15 years. Just as we moved from our house to the first church, from the first church to where we are currently, we know we've reached this 15-year point, and God, there you still may cause us to grow, to expand. Along this journey, you allowed the school to start. There's so much that you've done, God, through the years, and how grateful we are for the things that you've done. Our prayer is that you'd help us to remain flexible, that we could move, Lord, as you would call us to move, that we would do the things that you would call us to do, that we wouldn't just be satisfied with where we are. We're certainly grateful for what you have done, and we're grateful for what you're doing now, but God, we know there's more that you want to do in the future. Each one, God, I look at, every face has a story. Everyone, God, has a testimony. And I could just sit here and I could just go through, Lord, how each one came and how you orchestrated. I could go through that. But God, I just want to stop and say thank you. Because Spirit and Truth would not be Spirit and Truth if it wasn't for your people making it that. I pray your blessings upon each family. I pray your encouragement. I pray your strength. Think about Mother Tillman, Lord, who you call home, but before she left, God, how she was just touched by the love of people, Lord, and how they, how we just encircled and surrounded Brother Brown. God, she was touched by that. She remained faithful. God, we're grateful. Some you've called home, and we realized that my dad was one of them. Brother Mike, oh my God. Lord, certainly one that just means so much to all of us, but you called him home, Brother Hochi. But God, the fruit, the tree, it was pruned, it was cut so that it could bring forth more fruit. And look at what's coming out. I even think about Brother and Sister Robles. So many, God. I'm so grateful. And Lord, from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May you bless us as we go forward. Give us another 15 years. If you tarry, Lord, give us another 15 years. Keep us together and keep the enemy out, Lord. We know he don't like this, and he'll do everything he can to try to draw wedges and all that other kind of stuff. But Lord, keep the devil out. Help us to realize that it's nothing but the devil. You've been so good to us. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. We adore you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Is that? Amen. We just thank the Lord for all things. Brother Solomon, I'm going to ask that you would come and that you would come and close the service. Amen. We just appreciate the Lord Jesus. How many glad that he made a way? Amen. He made a way. He made a way. Amen.
Walls of fall with your power. we're standing here only because you made. And we're standing here only because you made. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. Hallelujah. You made a way. Say, you made a way. I don't know why, but you did it. You made a way.
Praise. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in praise and thanksgiving, Lord. We offer it to you just now for the way that you made, Lord. Many walks of life, Lord God, you brought us all through. Father, there could have been many times each one of us, Lord, death was just up the road, Lord, but you made a way. Father, as we heard the journey of this little church here, Lord God, how you brought it a mighty long way, you've done the same thing with your people. Lord, if it was not for this word, no doubt some of us would have never met. Our paths would not have crossed, but the way was made by you. And Father, we're so grateful, Lord. It's by your grace. It's written, the footsteps of the righteous are order of the Lord. And I'm so glad, Lord God, to be on this Christian journey with my precious brothers and sisters, Lord God, that you love so much. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord. I see how much you love me because you allow me to fellowship with such lovely people. And I pray, Lord, that you rain down your grace upon each one. We're so grateful for our pastor, Lord, and Sister Erica, Lord God, and we just ask that you keep a hedge about them. Continue to grant health to them, Lord. Meet each and every need that they have. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given Brother Jack such a pastor's heart, Lord. That, Lord, always be burdened down for the people. And Father God, may we always stand with our brother and stand behind him, Lord, to keep him lifted up to you in prayer. Lord, knowing that Satan would love to take him out, Lord, as a scattered sheep. But Father God, we place a hedge about him with prayer. We love him, Lord, as we love you. And I ask, oh God, that you be with your people just now. Bless our fellowship, Lord God. May you always be the center of everything, Lord God, we speak about, we talk about. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Be with us now, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. And our brethren will come and dismiss you. God bless you.